Welcome to the Best Damn Podcast Ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller of Firaxis fame.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
Also, we've got his best buddy and my best buddy, Ryan Meyer of Sid Meier fame. What's happening, man?
How's it going, folks?
One day, I'm waiting for one day when your fame will change, but like it's like default that forever.
Someday it's going to be Sid Meier of Ryan Meyer fame.
Someday.
Also, we got Justin Fick of Kill Monty fame. What's happening,
yo,
man?
Not a damn.
We're on the ball. We're doing shows at least a little more regularly now. I'm so pumped about this podcast. We're about to kick it into high gear.
Dude, it's madness. Total madness.
I know. Also, for all of you douchebags out there complaining about the goddamn website, TK, our buddy, is working on some brand new designs for the site. He's on the ball. He's shown me some Photoshops of it. Look, it's going to be hot.
Look,
all right.
We'll get to this later, but I love how, like everyone wants to help our site because it sucks. Like, everybody's trying, like, people are donating money trying to help out. They're like, we're going to make BDPE big because we don't. That's our job, and we're not doing it.
Yeah, the bottom line is, if you want it to change, you got to do it
yourself.
It's
your job.
It's your job. Yeah, that's right. If you're not satisfied, you know, don't complain.
It's a show for the listeners, by the listeners.
Hey, watch this. That's watch right. this. All right. We're not going to have a battle this week because we couldn't think of anything clever. But if you can, send it to feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Your battle could appear on next week's show.
Dude, we are feasting on the sauce of the week.
Justific did think of a battle, but it involved trying to swindle money out of pasta companies.
Dude, that's nothing. That's nothing. Dude, last week I had a battle about finding a living animal in the woods surrounding your house and killing it. I think we need to raise the stakes in battle.
You?
We are way too soft.
That one was vetoed. We don't condone animal killing.
No. You don't condone
for yourself.
Animal killing. Right. I condone plenty of animal killing. Animals are delicious.
Did you ever see that video like Lucas put up? Or he sent me this video a couple like a year
Invasion?
Ago.
Invasion?
It's Invasion where he throws
a
dead
squirrel
in a box.
I was crying with laughter. In fact, that should be a battle. See what Lucas did? Repeat.
Lucas, say the URL to that video, but only go there if you dare.
dproductive.com/invasion. But to clarify, no, I didn't make this video. It was made by a friend of mine called BP.
All right, we got to start the show. This is the Best Damn Podcast Ever for August 25th, 2008. All right, this week on the show, Gears of War invades the fucking media. Dennis Dydak continues on his path to insanity. GTA coming to PC. Burnout Paradise DLC. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
Man, I'm ready for that Dennis Dydak news. I haven't read the wiki, so I'm going to do this cold. I think Wazoo wrote my news here, so we're going to see how this goes. Gears of War 2 has been saturating the media. Most predominantly, the new feature of Gears of War is the ability to censor some of the more gory and inappropriate parts. So all the blood and the cuss words coming out of Coltrane. Blake Buck, what do you think about that?
It's sort of like you gotta figure out in the gaming industry who you're gonna sell this game to. Epic knows, well, we're selling this for 18 and up, but we know it probably at least 500,000 copies are gonna go to little Timmy who's not old enough yet.
What I'm curious about is this gonna get them out of that M rating? So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Does this get them down to T or not?
No,
does the fact that you can censor it save you from that?
Yeah, what about this?
I don't think so.
What if you release the game?
If the ESRB is going to rate Grand Theft Auto an M for content that you had to unlock via a downloadable mod, they're not going to let Gears of War slide with a T because you can censor the blood.
They got the scarlet letter of the gaming industry, which is actually two scarlet letters.
But, like, I don't know. Like, at the same time, I don't see how you're going to chainsaw somebody. Okay, clearly they're going to have chainsawing through people, right? I don't see how Sparks helps that.
Yeah, what's going to come out, like flowers or something? Like,
That's what they should do. I mean, they should take a page from Alien Hominid, which is where every blood spurt just turned into floating flowers. It was glorious. It was like the most fun I've ever had with a censored game in my life.
I don't really see who this is for. I guess there are some parents out there. Their kids are like, I want Gears of War. And they're like, well, I don't know, little Timmy. You did rape a squirrel last week.
Invasion!
Now it has censoring. I guess you can play it. I mean, are there that many parents out there that are going to say that?
The other possibility is that this might make it easier to sell in places like Germany.
They have
much stricter rules about
Australia's killing
actual dudes.
Yeah, Australia's crazy about censorship too. So there's some you know, I guess internationally we forget about that market. So I don't know. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Is this a good feature to add, or is it just more fluff that's not going to get used?
It's not going to affect my playing of it at all. I'm playing with blood on, chainsaws on, squirrel rape on. I'm putting the whole.
I mean, the
there.
People that buy this game should be 18 years or older. People should focus their efforts more on, you know, keeping it out of the hands of little Timmy than trying to, like, you know, shoehorn the game into a rating that it's not really appropriate for. You know what I mean?
Here's the final trade-off. Like, I remember in Gears of War, you could go into the option screen and set the blur to, like, regular or, like, low blood, right? If there's a regular and there's a low, where's the fucking high? What? Look, that's the only way to balance this out. I want, like, shit. I mean, I'm trying to think of the most gory game, like Soldier of Fortune 2 levels of blood.
But no, there should be straight up just like Kill Bill, just like garden hose coming out of your esophagus. Spring,
dude, whatever happened to like Mortal redness. Kombat 2 with like 10 femurs popping out and like 6 rib cages coming out of a guy you just impaled? That's what I want.
I'm telling you, games are too scared to go all out blood and guts these days. That's what I want to see. Gears of War is good, but they need to take it to the next level.
If I was Cliffy B, I'd have a full spectrum of levels. I would have low blood, normal blood, high blood, extreme blood, and thick.
All right. I can dig that. So, let's see. Anything else on this topic?
What's this about this full replica Lancer?
Oh, yeah, if you buy the Super Duper, of course, they're doing the Halo-style Super Deluxe QZ-49 Anti-Jam Rotary Edition of of Halo.
Oh, Ryan Myers got it pulled up here. That thing better cut people. Like, if I spend that much money,
the saw gun comes with it.
Now, does it shoot, like, Nerf darts or something? Or does it just kind of...
No.
Speaking of Nerf darts, people have made
Nerf replicas. Of Lancer.
All right, we got a story to tell. So after we did the last show, we immediately drove to Walmart and bought the most expensive Nerf gun they manufacture. The Longshot CS6.
Which one?
Good God. The Longshot CS6.
Oh, the sniper rifle?
This thing, you fire it and the crack of Zeus comes out it. like, I've shot my cat with it so many times. If I just touch the thing, the cat runs upstairs.
Now, here's what happened. I'm going to tell you the story. Now, Blake Buck and Wayne Miller are in Walmart looking at these things. And, you know, Wayne Miller's poor. He hadn't started his job yet. So he sees this super deluxe long shot over there. Blake Buck is, you know, he's making eyes at it. And so I buy the little, like, pissant gun, right? Uh-huh. Little pistol, right? So while Blake Buck is unwrapping his long shot, Wayne Miller, he gets in there and mods his Nerf gun. So it shoots like twice as far and as hard as Blake Buck's.
Look, does it look half as cool as mine? Coolness counts for a lot, son. All right.
That's true.
Pissant pea shooter? No dice. It could shoot a third as far as yours does. It doesn't matter. When that thing fires, baby Jesus weeps.
No, dude, you get hit with a long shot and you have to give respect.
Right. Yeah. So
now, did you guys pick up the machine gun?
No. I saw that on. There's like a Gatling gun coming out this fall. I looked that up online. I got to get that thing. Oh my God, 25 darts a minute or something. Or not? No, it's like 25 darts in 10 seconds or something like that.
Dude, I think it just depends on how fast you crank it. I mean, I'm jerking off every day just practicing for it.
No, you don't have to crank, son. It is D-cell battery powered.
Oh, shit.
Whoa, wait a minute now. Wait, there's never been a Nerf gun that's, like, electric.
It's going to be the first.
That's crazy.
I love it. I cannot wait. Awesome. I'm going to be the first in line at Walmart.
All right, speaking of people first in line at Walmart, Justin Fick, what is this Dennis Didak?
Hang on. I got to go get another beer. Hang on.
Lake Buck's going to finish the show about six beers deep.
Dude, I am looking forward to it.
I see this, Justin Fig. I saw him in the news the other day. They are the, like, whiniest sumbitches out there in the industry.
Well, the
today.
Thing is,
I'm
like,
convinced.
Like, I've been going back and reading some old fic journals. And then, like, every now and then I have, like, a quote from, like, a game designer that I wrote down because I liked it and I thought it was, like, inspirational or some shit. And there's actually a lot of Dennis Dyack quotes back there.
Oh, yeah?
I was kind of surprised. So, I mean, it's kind of sad that he's gone fairly apeshit.
He's gone rogue.
Yeah.
How do you know Blake Buck's done with the beer? Hey, come here and clean up this beer I just broke in the floor. I thought it'd just make a sound, but no, it broke. Where's the broom?
There was no roommate contract signed in that house.
Get away, kitty. Get away. I thought it'd make a cool sound. God damn it.
Destruction
right,
is
Justin
always
Fick.
A cool sound.
What is this mess?
All right, are we all here?
Yeah, we're
are
here.
We all ready to rock. All right. So Dennis Dyack is back in the news. If you recall, he is the sort of like the figurehead of Silicon Knights, who created Too Human, which is coming out in a couple days. If it's not already, I think.
No, it's not out yet.
Not out yet. All right. So yeah, a couple days. Maybe within the next week, I'm sure. But he has gotten back in the news regarding his suit against EA. So backstory is he has filed suit claiming that EA has not or not EA, I'm a retard, Epic has not delivered as promised on the Unreal Engine. So it's cost them development time. It's, you know, cost them a lot of money. They couldn't figure it out. It couldn't do what they wanted to do, blah, blah, blah. So they scrapped it, wrote their own engine, and now they're suing. So,
okay, wait, now. Now, I thought this was, it's proceeding, it says here. I thought this was like a settled deal. I thought they were like, well, whatever. But now it's actually going through the court?
It's going. So, yeah. So, like, it was, in fact, it says a year ago. So this has been a while. Dennis Dyack's quote is, Epic has failed to provide a working game engine, and then since then they've actually recreated their own engine, and then he says that the trial is proceeding. We feel really good about our claims, and we're hopeful that justice will be done. We all feel really strongly that they have defrauded us, they being Epic, and a major portion of the industry.
Huh.
Now here's what I don't get. Now, I worked with the Unreal Engine in college, right? And that thing is awesome, all right? And, like, Too Human, it's not that much different, I mean, in terms of the graphics and this kind of core mechanics from you know, other games that have been made with it.
Okay.
I think they just can't program over
now,
there.
I think they can.
I mean, they definitely have the technical chops, because, I mean, since getting rid of that engine, they have, you know, whipped up their own in about a year. And I mean, if they throw an engine
after
then,
after seeing the Unreal code base,
I'm sure. I mean, but I mean, still, like an engine and a AAA game in a year. I mean, that's, I mean, they do have some technical chops. I won't doubt that. And honestly, like I've played Too Human. I played the demo twice. So I mean, and then they do try to do a lot with the core mechanics. I mean, they definitely took the whole God of War thing, added in some Diablo elements, and I don't know. It's like
there's so much story in that damn demo. That demo,
to me it just wasn't fun. I mean, like
I think it could be fun. There was just so much talking in that demo. Like it was like 3/4 talking, 1/4 cutting.
The cut to not cut ratio was very low.
It was rather low. Yeah. Well,
I played it through the first time, and then I couldn't stand it. And then, you know, I was talking to Bruce Morrison of Freeverse, and he was like, "Well, you know, what you got to do is you got to turn the camera up to, it's got like an isometric view, so that sort of pulls the camera up top, sort of gives it like a Diablo-esque feel." And then that helped it out a little bit, but like it still didn't really make it fun. Like instead of like a shitty God of War clone, it just became a shitty Diablo clone.
I'd give it time. I'll see what the reviews say. I have a feeling the full version will be a lot more fun than that crap hole of a demo.
I don't know. I just I think this whole lawsuit is ridiculous. Like, they're claiming, I mean, this guy is saying essentially that Epic has defrauded a major portion of the industry by not you know, releasing good quality stuff. I mean, look, the Unreal Engine is like the most popular middleware ever. And that's for a
tons
reason.
Of games
I mean,
made with it.
Well, just, exactly. just look at a couple games that use it. For instance, BioShock looks really, really good on the Unreal Engine. And then take a game like Rainbow Six Vegas. It looks kind of ass. All right, and it's the same engine, but like, what's the difference? Is it because I mean, especially when you compare it to Gears of War, why is there this rift between what Epic can make and what third-party developers can make?
Well, I mean, it's like the what it comes down to is the engine is a tool. I mean, you know, it's like you can have the best hammer in the world, but if you're a moron, you're still going to not be able to nail shit with it. And you do not blame the hammer. You do not blame the maker of the hammer. You blame yourself. Either you get a different tool that can do the job, or you fucking learn how to woodwork.
I think you're right. I think it's probably a combination of the two. It's probably Epic wasn't 100% upfront with how they were going to do their code base and or their engine. And then developers also kind of suck, considering, I mean, they haven't made it and they have to learn it, so I think somewhere between the two, we'll find the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's plenty of games that use it, but I know that Silicon Knights is not the only company that's had trouble. So, I mean, but then again, I have not heard from any of the other ones in a very long time.
I think also another thing is people expect, you know, when they get stuff like that, an out-of-the-box solution, they don't want to do the work. I mean, you know, it's the nature of middleware. If you get it, you have to modify it to make it work for you. It's like, if you develop your own technology, you front load all the costs at the beginning, writing all that code and all that stuff, and then the rest of it's smooth sailing after that. With middleware, you get a nice, good, clean head start, and then at the end of the project cycle, that's when you run into some problems where you have to, you know, you sort of mold it to fit your project's needs. And I think, you know, they thought that they were getting a whole, you know, the whole thing without having to do the work. I'm just saying.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty typical. I mean, and especially when you pay as much as you pay for the Unreal Engine, which is, I don't know, what, like $500,000 more?
A bajillion dollars.
Yeah.
I think that's the...
So, I mean, it's like you pay that much and you expect, you know, basically like a Play-Doh machine that you can just stuff your face in and then a game comes out the other end and then blows you after it.
Yeah. Like, y'all remember those commercials for the Play-Doh, like food kit? Where they mash some Play-Doh
like
in there,
and you make
looking so spaghetti. Tasty. It never worked like that. It always came out like brown or green. It never looked right. Like,
dude,
all your Play-Doh mixed together.
I remember when I was a kid, all I ever wanted was the McDonald's Play-Doh machine that made fries and little hamburgers.
Oh my Blake God. Buck is not if at could, McDonald's. He's still thinking about it. He wants to.
If I could have that right now, I would
donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Hook it up. Somebody send me a link and some cash. I'm going to buy it. I'll take photos. How did we talk about Play-Doh? All right, so moving on. Closing thoughts on this Dennis Dydak, too human nonsense.
Oh, well, Justin Fick, you were saying that you had a quote from him that you really liked. Like, I mean,
it was,
does this
it
man
was in,
have a
it was
redeeming
in one
quality?
Of my journals a long time. I mean, like, a couple
you
years.
You kept journals?
Like,
you like, fucking fag.
Dude, I keep... Dude, you keep journals too, you shithead. In fact, we keep the exact same fucking journal.
I believe it's called a heat book.
Mine is called the ass journals. Mine is called ass book because that is where it always goes, in the ass pocket. It's accompanied by ass pen. So, but yeah, like... I mean, like, he actually is a, you know, a good designer with some good thoughts. I think just, like, this project has gone so south that he's losing it. Proof of this is that he is now claiming that the success of Too Human will determine the fate of a city in Canada called Niagara.
What?
So basically, his quote is, quote, "If Too Human does what we expect it will in the marketplace, then it can change the world for St. Catharines and Niagara." Now, this is an interview with a newspaper.
Is this where they're located? Their studio?
Presumably.
It's going to change the world. Your game makes money, and you've changed the world. Okay, all right. Why don't you go fight terror? That's world changing. We got a lot of that out there.
So I think what's happened is he's basically gone from Okay, because he's sunk a ton of money, and Silicon Knights has sunk tons of money into 2Human. It's been in development for over 10 years, 4 years like major development for a AAA console, licensing the Unreal 3 engine, and then unlicensing it. I'm sure they got some or all of their money back. I don't know how much they got back, but 4 years of development, engines. I think that they went from trying to make that back on sales, and they realized that their game is butt, or quite possibly will be butt, and will not make it back, to suing Epic and trying to get their money back that way. And if that doesn't work, now they're basically saying that the fate of Niagara, Canada is going to depend on the sales. this is like the game industry equivalent of begging for change.
Ryan Meyer has just found the McDonald's Play-Doh playset.
Oh, nice.
Oh! Don't even tell me that. I won't even finish a show if you send me that link.
$7.
So basically,
oh,
like, what?
Shit. Does it come with burger colored dough?
No, Play-Doh is not included.
Oh, fuck.
Dude, you, yeah, like, dude,
do they
you
even
mix
make
that
burger colored dough? I mean.
All right, so in closing, this here about the city in Canada, this is like one of those commercials. Like you ever watch, like the Discovery Channel or some shit late at night, and they have those commercials where it's like that. Like that dude talking in that voice about, just like adopting some kid in like Ethiopia. Be like, these kids in Ethiopia eat their own shit. Just 10 cents a day will help these children live a better life. This is like what Dennis Dyack is doing. Yeah, just $60 will keep these game developers from eating their own shit. Dennis Dyack bathes in his own shit every morning. You can help. By signing up, you'll receive a picture of Dennis Dyack along with his profile.
When this game developer started making 2Human, he thought they were going to use the Epic engine, but then they didn't, and he cried for weeks and weeks and weeks.
All right, Burnout on PSN this fall. Blake Buck.
No, I'm doing something else. Actually, I'm going to skip this article. Wazoo put it in here. Basically, GTA is coming to PC. That's all you need to know. It's coming out soon. When does it say? Newly expanded multiplayer. It's arriving on November 18th and 21st in the 18th in America. There you go. Done. Burnout.
I am, however, looking forward to the mods they have for that.
That's true. That will be cool.
That's always quite interesting to see.
Burnout is now Burnout Paradise. The newest Burnout is going to be available this fall as a downloadable game on the PlayStation Network. So this is the first... Okay, for those of you who don't know Burnout, you drive fast in a tube. Burnout Paradise. All right, the tube's got more branches than the last game.
Dude, but drive fast on a grid this time.
Yeah, series of tubes. But it's a good game. We reviewed it a few months ago, but it's going to be available as a digital download. No box required. You go and click it, bloop, bloop, and you're going to play. On PlayStation Network, it's coming out this fall for $30. Wow. Now... I don't know. A lot of analysts have responded to this and talked about how it's going to change the industry because this is the first significant third-party PlayStation 3 game that's going to be on the PlayStation Network, according to game analyst Evan Wilson. I need to be a game
Chuck
analyst. Madden makes money. Invest in EA. I'm an analyst. Woo! Casual gamers like the Wii. What's up?
Dude, the only analyst I respect is Chart Track.
But so they're going to have this game that's out. But my only problem with this, I'm excited about it, and I like the digital download scheme. That's cool. I don't have to put it in. I can just pick it out the menu. There it goes. But it's $30. This game's already about $30, if I'm not mistaken, on the PlayStation. Somewhere thereabouts, if not even cheaper. I mean, if it's 30, it's 50. By the time it comes out, if it's $20 for the place for the disc version and $30 for the download version, that's not competitive. I don't think $30 is a competitive price point by the time this game's released. They should have gone $20.
Plus, what's that going to translate to in PSN points? Like if that was $30 on the Xbox, it'd be
PlayStation uses real point. Like
yeah,
it's
they,
just
they don't use points at all.
See, I don't understand
trick
why
400 points is $5. If you can do the math as to what that is. Per point, it's what, like 1.25 cents a point?
It's,
are you kidding me?
It's 80 points for a buck.
It's crap. You're trying to trick me. So anyway, What do you guys think about digital distribution? Do you think this is the wave of the future? 5 years from now, are all our games going to be digital downloads?
I think yeah. I think in 5 years, you're definitely looking at something like that. I mean, this isn't gonna, you know, this isn't like a landfall or anything. This isn't like, you know, the beginning of an avalanche. Like, it's gonna take a while. Because, I mean, you know, like, for instance, you still have the Xbox, which, you know, has SKUs that are sold without a hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're not quite there, but I'm sure that the next round of consoles, and even the next round of this generation's consoles, like, when the next 360s come out, then they are going to have hard drive. Yeah. I mean, not even the 720. Just like, you know, Xbox 360 Uber Edition or some shit.
You know, see, here's what I think. Like, you're totally right. Next generation consoles, that's going to be a big part. But at the same time, you see, like, you know, Turner Broadcasting Network selling off GameTap. I mean, like,
that's true. Think about this. All right, the average gamer, I don't know, and the stats have certainly changed, but the average gamer only owns about 3 games or like 5 games. Classically, it's been 3. Now it's up to like maybe 5 or something. But like, I mean, the average gamer, the people who go out and account for most of the sales in the industry are people who buy Madden and like Halo, and that's it, and that's all they play on their Xbox. I mean, I don't think a digital distribution right now is going to gain traction with that market, with, you know, Jimmy at the Sigma Chi fraternity. Woo! Go play Halo and Madden! It's going to be down on this digital distribution thing.
Well, I think it will get there. I mean, and I think the whole brick and mortar the stores, they're going to hang on for a very long time. They're going to hang on for dear life. So I mean, they're not going away anytime soon.
Also, people love buying used games. I mean, that's just the way it is. I think that's the lifeblood of these brick and mortar like places.
Absolutely. It's the circle of life.
Yeah, we talked about that. But basically, I mean, that's what most of these stores thrive off of, is used game sales. And you know, Jimmy Ray from Sigma Chi Fraternity, if he can get Madden for damn $10 cheaper, well, hell. I mean, hell. He's not going to buy something off the internet. The only thing he knows the internet does is porn and, like, LimeWire. Those are the two functions of the internet.
Look, there might be something good in there. All right. Hey, y'all, we can sell that stuff.
All right, day blooms, man.
Oh, all right, God. So digital distribution, it's on the way. I think eventually everything will be digital distribution. I don't see that happening for at least 15 years, though. What do you guys think?
I think sooner than that. I mean, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen soon. I'll give it a generation of consoles. Like, by the time PS4, the Xbox 720, and then whatever the fuck Nintendo decides they're going to come out with,
Nintendo's just going to come out with like it's going to be like that game Simon Says, you know, where you press the colors, revolutionary touch controls, simple gameplay for pops.
You just bang your head against it. You don't even use your thumbs. That is that's quintessential innovation and function.
Dude, they just need a Wii butt board that I can sit on my couch and control games in my ass cheeks.
Clinch left, clinch right. Oh, fuck, I fell in the water.
Exactly. I fell in the water and I lost control of my bowels.
You gross boy. All right. Now it's time for releases.
All right, this week.
These are old. Pull it up. Pull up that.
Actually,
link.
I got some new ones pulled up.
You don't want me to do this NFL Madden,
dude? Madden's
it's
out.
It's already out. Just skip these. No.
I got this weekend, next week. I'll like on the web page here. So I'll kick
us
off.
Just roll them off.
All right. So, actually, first one is Too Human for Xbox 360 is released on August 19th. So that is actually, it's tomorrow for us recording. It will have been released by the time this comes out. So, Too Human is a sci-fi action-adventure game from Silicon Knights that chronicles a futuristic conflict between cybernetic Norse gods and does not use the Unreal Engine. So also on the
I think it has the potential to be good. Don't sell it out yet. Wait for some reviews.
I'm giving it suspect eye.
I said you're going in with suspect. I'm going in with maybe it's good. It's had a bad demo. The demo sucked, but I think it's going to be good.
Like the impression I get is they took God of War And granted, it's been development for 10 years, but it feels like they took God of War and instead of Greek gods, they made it Norse gods plus Diablo. I am always open to, for being surprised. But we'll see.
They got that man on the front. He's got Tron on his face. Them glowing lines. I've seen that game. Look, it's gonna be Tron. That's all.
Dude, you guys hear about Tron 2? They're making Tron
2. Oh my god. Wait. We gotta have a side story. My brother showed Midbug Double B, my brother, showed me a link the other day of a show that was out in the 80s called Starcade. Have you guys ever seen this show?
It rings a bell for some reason. You might
just look it up on YouTube. Oh my god, it was like from the early 80s, so they're playing like stuff like Tron and all these awful arcade games. It is so funny. You've got to watch it. Look it up on YouTube, Starcade. The kids, the announcer is so condescending to the contestants. He's like, "Oh, well, looks like you had some bad luck there, huh? Yeah? Yeah? Maybe should have done a little better, huh? Guess you're not going to win today, huh, Tim?"
Dude, anyway, what was that old game show? It was on Nickelodeon where they...
Nick
where they
Arcade. Based,
oh, dude. That's what it was, Nick the Arcade? Video game. Look, that was real.
That's right? when they put kids in video game at the end.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That was real. Was
so and, awesome. and it's obvious they're watching the green screen like 50 feet away.
Do you remember when they would go into the video game? They had these big, like, metal doors that opened up, and there was smoke and strobe lights in there. That was them going into the
game. Dude, that's styrofoam and cigarette smoke. I know that now.
Dude, I see this Starcade mess. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's early. This is way before Nick Arcade.
Dude, I want to recreate Starcade in my house.
No, at the end, though, you got to play to win an arcade game. That's pretty cool.
Oh, dude, I got a story. Blake Buck, William Miller, Ryan Meyer. I got a story. Speaking of win an arcade game. So Justin Fick is walking home. It's late at night from Freeverse. It was a long day at work. And it's about maybe 10:30. I'm walking home on 84th Street. And I look up and just outside of someone's apartment, wrapped up in garbage bags, is a full-size arcade cabinet. Whoa. And I'm like, oh, shit. So it's a little under the weather. It's totally gutted. It's got no tube. It's got no game in it. But it's wrapped up in garbage bags. So it's meant for oblivion. So I'm like, oh shit. So like first, you know, I'm trying to like move this thing, and this thing is not budging. This thing's got to be like 300 fucking pounds. So it's like you know 10:30 at night. It's not getting any earlier. So like I don't really know a whole lot of people out here. So I call up Bruce Morrison. Bruce Morrison's been talking about some arcade cabinets, some main cabinet stuff. So I call him up and I'm like, dude, you're not gonna fucking believe this. I got an arcade cabinet sitting right next to me. And so Bruce flips his shit. He's trying to call everyone he knows to find someone with a car. There's nobody. We can't get anybody. So I go back to my place and we're playing.
What cabinet is this? What game is
it? It was originally a Mortal Kombat 2 cabinet. So it's got like a little Mortal Kombat 2 and it's got a serial number on the back of it. But it looks like it's been modified since then because it's got two light guns sticking out the front of it.
No, dude.
Man, I want to play that Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's just an addition you never heard of.
So I'm sitting at home. It's like 12 o'clock now. It's midnight, and we can't get anybody to help us. No one wants to make the trek up to Manhattan. So like we're just like shit. It's like what are we gonna do? It's like you know by tomorrow morning it'll probably be gone. So the idea in the end was to either find a cab that or find like one of those like van cabs
in
that's
vans?
Willing to
yeah.
Yeah, or not man with a van because that costs money, but like cabs that are vans. Yeah, but none of them wanted to put the thing in. They're like, fuck no, you're not putting that in my cab. so the last resort was to find the only 24-hour store nearby, which was Rite Aid, and by now it's like 2 a.m. and I walk into Rite Aid. I'm like, dude, I need your hand truck. And the guy's like, okay, well, it's like we're unloading and stuff with it. I was like, we're using it, but if you come back in a half an hour, we'll have it ready. And then and the lady behind me, she's like, well, you better have some money or a license ready to because they'll probably ask for a deposit. I'm like, bitch, you are not helping me right now. but half an hour later, I actually go back and he gives me the hand truck. I walk out of Rite Aid with a hand truck. no money, no deposit, no license, no nothing. Just walk out with it. And I get back to the cabinet, and turns out this hand truck is about half as tall as this fucking thing. And then not only that, but it's still too heavy to move. I can't even get the hand truck back, like throwing my entire weight on it. And not only that, but it's like behind someone's fence. So there's a gate on it, but it's not going through the gate. So I'm sitting, and so I call Bruce Morrison back. I'm like, dude, I might need another pair of hands to help me move this thing. And he's like, dude, it's like 2:30 in the morning. He's like, I'll come help you, but it'll be 4:00 by the time I get there. So I'm like, shit. I'm like, well, look. He's like, I'll try to move this. If I can't do it, I'll call you back. So hang up with him, and I'm just like throwing all my weight on this, just trying to do whatever I can. And it's like 2:30 in the morning. Right, just some random dude walks by. He's like, dude, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh man, dude. And I start telling him about main cabinets and all this stuff, and telling him about all these grand plans we have for it. And he's like, dude, he's like, you want help? I'm like, fuck yeah. I was like, let's get this thing out of here. So it's like the two of us cannot budge this damn thing. Like, and we're just like breaking a sweat, trying to lift it over this fence. A third dude comes by. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing? So I'm like, oh man. It's like, I'm telling about the main cabinet and giving them the whole story, telling about all our plans. He's like, dude, you guys need help? And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. So it took three of us to lift this bitch over this fence.
Now wait, two dudes just walked up at like 3 in the morning and were like, oh, main cabinet, sure.
Yeah, in the middle of Manhattan, no less. In the middle of Manhattan. So finally, the three of us get it over, and then after we get it over the fence, they're like, okay, peace out. So I'm like throwing myself against this dolly. I finally get it like tipped over so I can roll it. And so I'm like rolling this fucking 300-pound beast back to my apartment, which is only like 4 blocks away. But as I'm going back, this random chick is like, dude, what are you doing? So I'm telling her about the main cabinet and all these cool plans I have for it, and I get her to like hold the cabinet steady while I roll it down with this dolly up into my apartment building, into my apartment, up into the elevator, through my hallway and up against my wall, and there's an arcade cabinet sitting in my room right now.
Bravo, sir. Wow.
So so around like 4:30 in the morning, I rolled that hand truck back into Rite Aid, and somewhere along the line, this arcade cabinet blew out one of its tires. So the thing was barely hanging on by a thread, so I pretty much just rolled it in, just said hello to the guy that was sweating bullets because he let me walk out with the company's hand truck, and then I bought a Red Bull and peaced out.
Oh.
I love how Justific doesn't. It doesn't occur to Justific to go to sleep after all that. No, he buys a Red Bull, ready for more action.
Well, shit, I was tired. I was sweating balls.
I love it. All right, people say, oh, there's no good people left in the world. You had what? Four people? Three people?
I had three.
Trying to help
three
you.
Different people help me out.
And total and the guy strangers. Righty, so that's really four.
Yeah, really four. So.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I got pictures of it up on my website, justinfick.com.
There you go, son.
So we're gonna do it up special.
Yeah, let us know the progress of this main cabinet.
Oh, definitely. All right. So, moving on with the releases.
Let's get back to releases.
All right. So next up, we have Ratchet and Clank Future Quest for Booty on August 21st. So this is Ratchet and Clank Return. This is PS3.
Okay.
This is Ratchet and Clank Return and pick up where Tools of Destruction left off.
Oh, I didn't know they had a new game coming out this week.
Yeah, so I mean,
I'm out of the loop. I like
Ratchet and Clank. Always a good time. All right, so on Wednesday, or it'll already be out by the time you get this, but on the 20th, we have Galaga Legions for XBLAW. So this is Galaga Legions reinvents the classic shooter for the Xbox Live Arcade. This is awesome. So and then
it looks like it's going to be crazy hard though.
It's kind of like it's the way Pac-Man CE is. It's kind of like it's not inherently hard, but it's as hard as you make it.
Right.
So like you can play it.
The better you get, the harder it gets, kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Because then also you start going for like maximum points and like optimal paths and that kind of thing, and then that's when it really starts demanding perfection. But you can play it and enjoy it and have a good time no matter what.
Cool.
And then My favorite release this week. I don't even know. I never heard of this game. It's not even on the map really, but I love it. It's for the PC, coming out August 21st. It's called Tank Universal Challenger 8.
Now, what does this do?
You take part in a 3D Tron-like world as you make your way through 20 levels of tank battles.
All right. Well, I'm going to buy that one. That's number one on my list. All right. Is it time for judgment?
I think it is. Let me just give a quick scout through next week. Next week we'll do next week's releases. We're good to go.
Okay.
Bam.
All right. All right. Wait, you said you want to do next week's or you
don't? We'll do it next week.
Okay. Okay. Now it's time for the judgment. I want you to listen to this sound. That is the sound of perfection.
It's the sound of Michelob Ultra. That's your low carb beer.
No, dude, this is this Ultra with lime cactus, dude. I'm all about this mess.
The fuck is lime cactus?
I don't know. I found it on the shelf and it is delicious. Xbox Live Summer Arcade Blowout. What is this, Justin Fick?
All right, so for those that do not know, we are in the middle of what's called the Xbox Live Arcade Summer. So basically, the reason that Xbox Live Arcade has sucked ass so much the last couple months is because they've saved all their good stuff for this one month.
Dude, so I love that crossword thing. What are you talking about?
So five games make up the Arcade Summer. It started 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago with Geometry Wars 2. 2 weeks ago was Braid. Right. Last week was Bionic Commando Rearmed. This week is Galaga Legions, and next week is Castle Crashers.
Okay.
So this week's judgment, I guess we should go in order. Totally. All five is today's judgment. So, let's start with the first one,
Geometry Wars 2.
Geometry Wars 2. So, it's the, obviously the sequel to the, to the best-selling Retro Evolved. And basically, it's all you could hope for in the sequel and then some. So, basically, it's the tried-and-true, dual-stick shooter gameplay. Now got six game modes. And it's done in such a way where they unlock as you play them. It's actually and it's done in a way that sort of introduces you to them one at a time. It's very good. Some of them are actually they switch up the gameplay completely. And then the a big plus is the first one you get access to is championship mode. Basically, it's called Deadline, and that's basically you kill as much shit as you can in 3 minutes or whatever.
Mm.
So, right. and then some modes are better than others. I mean, there's a mode called Pacifism, which is actually a lot of fun. You can't shoot.
That's the mode where you, can't shoot and you gotta go through the gates, right?
Yeah, one of the new enemies in Geometry Wars 2 is, this gate. And if you go, and if you go through it, the gate explodes and kills whatever's around you. So it's kind of like a little mini bomb. So you can't shoot, but there's all these gates everywhere that you have to go through, and it's actually a lot of fun.
Dude, my favorite mode is Waves, dog. Remember when
I haven't gotten into Waves yet.
Oh, dude, that's to me, Waves is the most awesome because it's the most pro-level game.
You got a pretty high score on that Waves
games never last more than, a minute and a half max, even if you're an awesome player. I got second place on my friends list to you, Justin Fick.
Oh, am I first?
You're number one in my friend list. But yeah, that's what I'll get back into
because there's only one achievement for that one, which was getting eight waves going at once.
Yeah,
and then
hard because it's essentially there's a line of enemies appear and they go up the screen, and it sounds easy, but then they're when there's eight lines of enemies all moving at once, trying to fight a hole to defend yourself in. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that one I need to get back and play some more. Because I've been focusing on Sequence, trying to get the achievements for Sequence.
Oh, man, that one is impossible. You have to play 20 levels or something in a row?
Yeah, it's 25 levels. And you basically have to do them all in 30 seconds apiece.
Dang.
So it's definitely very tricky. But it's a fun game. I think the only downside is that some of the game modes kind of suck. I'm specifically thinking of King.
I thought that one was kind of fun. It's different where you're in the circles. Mm-hmm. You can only fire
within the circles. It is different. I'm just not digging it as much as the other ones at all. It's definitely my least favorite.
All right. I can dig
it. But I mean that said, I'm sure everyone's got their least favorite. So, I can't hold that too much against it. But, it does everything else perfectly. I mean, the integrated leaderboards into the game selection
right into the game
is brilliant. Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah, and it's actually in the game, so while you're playing, you see the next score on the leaderboards you have to beat. So I mean,
I can't imagine anybody in my leaderboards, Justin Fick is number one on all games.
Now, actually, there's some people on my list that are beating me. So I need to go back and sort of reclaim my thrones. but the thing is,
How would you rate this game overall?
Definitely thumbs up.
So it's $10 on XBLA, right?
Yep, $10. And then the only reason I haven't been going back and reclaiming my throne is because I've been playing the next one that came out.
Oh, now what's that?
The next one that came out is Braid. So Braid is absolutely brilliant. It's basically from the website. It's a platform game where you manipulate time to solve puzzles, and that does not do this game justice at all.
Hmm.
It's it takes like you know the very familiar mechanics of platforming, and adds in a rewind feature, and it's more than just like you know like the Prince of Persia like you know 5 seconds of rewind just to bring your dude back to life. It's like you can rewind as much as you want, as little as you want, as fast as you want, as slow as you want, and it takes that and it gives you additional mechanics to play with for each world. And basically the premise of it is in each world there's puzzle pieces you have to get, and you have to use that rewind mechanic and use the additional time mechanics. Like for instance, some things are immune to rewind, you know, other things to basically collect all these pieces. And the way the puzzles are laid out is absolutely brilliant. It's stuff that you will look at and you'll be stumped for like half an hour, then you'll get it and you'll feel like a fucking badass.
I bought this game one of the first days games out. It is amazing. It's $15, a little bit more than you'd like to pay for an XBLA game. It is totally worth it. You don't want to go into too much about the puzzles because that kind of ruins some of the fun if you tell too much about the game. But, you know, some of the puzzles are linked to space and time are linked to where if you move forward and backward, time will go forward or go backward. So you have to think about your spatial orientation in regards to time. Other ones, you have like a shadow person that will, redo the same thing after you rewind. It's absolutely genius. The game is easily the most innovative game I've played since, like Portal. It's a lot like Portal in the sense that it changes how you think about puzzles and puzzle games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, $15,
I like it because it's essentially the same game as that Mario tape.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it even's got the castle. Somebody telling you the princess is not in this castle at the end of each level. But they just added this little thing to it and designed these levels so well. Somebody's got to mention the art. I mean, the guy that hand-drew or hand-painted all of the art in this game, it's just phenomenal. The whole thing is just a really magical experience. Yeah, If you haven't played it yet, get out there and play it. It's a totally unique experience.
Now, I was not sold after the demo. I don't think the demo really gives you a good taste of...
How much did they give you in the demo?
You get level one, the whole first world, and then two levels from, the first world is world two. They give you one level from world three and one level from world four, which I don't really think is enough to really...
Yeah,
I wasn't convinced. I read some reviews, and then I tried, and I absolutely loved it. So, if you're even remotely interested in this game, you've got to buy it.
Yeah. And I mean, and like, I think my only complaint is that the main meat of the game is actually, you know, I do have a couple issues. I mean, like the main meat of the game is over pretty quickly. Like, I remember I bought it the first night it came out and I had it beaten before I went to bed. I mean, that said, I didn't go to bed.
It's not very long. You can beat it. I beat it in about, I don't know, maybe 6 hours or something.
So I mean, it's
not super long, but it's still awesome.
Yeah, but it offers a lot of replayability in that once you beat it, you unlock the speed runs. So you can do speed runs of individual levels and also of the whole game. And I'll mention I do have a 41-minute run up there.
Oh, there you go.
Go ahead.
One thing that I thought was really unique about the game is the story, how abstractly told it is. You just get these kind of books. And the individual pieces don't really make a lot of sense, but sort of when you put them all together, you kind of, I don't know, it works somehow.
Well, here's the thing to that. Like, the other thing that I love about this game is that there are so many layers to it, both with the puzzles and with the story. So the puzzles, I mean, obviously you have the layer of just trying to get through the level, there's one with, you know, getting the puzzle pieces and beating the game. And then, you know, I am not going to spoil a thing, but I will just say that after you beat the game, keep playing. That's all.
Oh, really? I kind of stopped after I beat it. Is there more?
There is more.
Oh, and, son.
And it is, it's stuff like, I thought that this was one of the most brilliant games I've ever played once I beat it. And then it just didn't stop.
Well, wait. All right, we can edit this out. What happens after you beat it?
Now, whoa. I hadn't played through it all the way either.
Oh, fucking
so just,
stop
no,
listening.
No, don't. Shut up. Don't do it, Justin Fick.
Look, me and my buddy my buddy played through the whole thing too. All right, we want to know now.
After the show, I will give you. I'll give you the details. But I'll just say there is more to it, and story wise there's I'm not gonna say anything, but there is more to both.
And the ending of the game I thought was fantastic. That ending sequence there.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
Gonna mention
world,
anything,
world one. Yeah, I'm not saying about that either. Just that it blew
genius.
My mind. Yeah, like
genius.
Like pretty much, you know, that's one of the few times in any game that I've been playing it. And, like, I stood up and started squealing like a little bitch because I was so happy.
All right, you little girls. Let's quit circle jerking over this game. Bionic Commando, rearm. What you got, Justin?
All right, before we're done circle jerking, I do have some issues with the game. So, first of all, that the leaderboard, first of all, is sorted by pieces. And then it's sorted by date in reverse order. So people that beat the game after me are above me on this leaderboard. So I'm below all the people that I outsmarted.
No. I think in my leaderboard, it's sorted alphabetically.
Interesting. Are you sure? I'll also go back and check that out then, because I think like I'm actually on the bottom of it. Ah. So I'm kind of peeved about that because I should be at the top. Like, yeah. I'm very particular about that.
Where I belong.
And then the other one is that, you know, playing through the speed run. I can't talk too much about this because it'll spoil people too. But like, it doesn't end where you feel it should, and I don't know because there's scenes after that one point. All I will say is the platform and Blake Buck, you probably know what platform I'm talking about. So
no,
like,
I'm done. You got to break it down for me, son. I better not forget about this because I want to know about the secrets.
Remind me after the show. I'll spill some beans for you.
All right, come on, y'all.
Bionic
Let's speed this
Commando
up. Let's go.
Rearmed. Bionic Commando turns to Xbox Live and PlayStation Network
rant.
With a
one
brand new
rant.
Bag.
Because
oh, come on,
Braid,
son.
But because Braid kind of like started something, you know that, and I'm talking specifically about the price point. So Braid is $15. Bionic Commando is $15. I mean, Castle Crashers, I'm sorry, is $15. And then there's actually been a little bit of like an outcry about it. Like people who are not buying the game because it's $15, they're bitching, all that kind of stuff. I mean, all I want to say that is that if you are one of these people that is not buying Braid because it's $15, then you are pig slime, and I hope you die.
$15 is not a lot of money, and it's a fantastic game. I would have paid, like, if this game came out on a disc, I would have paid $50 for this, no question. All right? Now, I definitely wouldn't have liked it as much. I'd been like, damn, $50. But $15 is nothing. All right? Quit being
game. Regular shareware on a computer is $20 to $30. So, I mean, that's close to twice as much. So, if you have not bought Braid yet, I hate you, and I will continue to hate you until you buy it. Now we can move on to Bionic Commando.
All right, Bionic Commando. I'll set this up for you, Justin Fick. It's essentially, in case you didn't know, Bionic Commando was a classic NES game that's been remade now on Xbox 360. It's on XBLA and PSN. The single player game has been faithfully created, along with the addition of a challenge mode and a two-player co-op mode, which is either on the same screen or can even go into split screen if you get too far apart.
So wait, is this game like a direct remake from the NES?
Well,
I mean, is it like pound for pound?
You talk about it.
All right, so I mean, it's all the same level. It's basically Bionic Commando. It's almost a faithful remake. I'll get into that in a bit, but like all the levels are recreated. All the music is remixes of the old tracks. And there's like old NES era audio, you know, in the menus and that kind of stuff. You can hear it. It's very cool. I mean, they put a lot of love into it.
Right.
But I mean, but there are parts of it that are kind of peeving me the more that I play it.
So what's up?
All right. So first of all, it's not just making it 3D. Like, I have no problem with that. I think where they kind of faltered in that, you know, the fact that it is 3D now makes your character feel more sluggish, because now instead of just swapping out a sprite and having fluid controls, now you have to like go through these 3D animations of everything. Your character doesn't feel as responsive, and I noticed that.
I can see what you're saying. You know, when you kind of run, you know, it's not like it's on the NES. It's like, bam, you're already running. There's kind of like a ramp up when you're running, you know, on the 3D version.
So I mean, my second complaint is that the bosses have changed. So I mean, like I like for instance, like the first boss, instead of just shooting the shit out of it like you should, now there's like something you have to like, you know, grab onto a barrel with your grappling hook and then pick it up and throw it into a boss, and then it exposes his weak point that you can then shoot, and then you got to repeat the process a couple times until the boss. I don't like that at all either. They should have just kept the old bosses where you just get the rocket launcher and shoot the shit out of it.
All right. So here's my thing, Jessica. You got all these finish your spiel about the problems.
All right. Well, two more points then. So the first one is the challenge rooms. And I mean, the challenge rooms are completely like exercises in frustration. And maybe I'm unforgiving of them because just having come off of Braid. But I mean, it's one of those things, like, for maximum enjoyment, like you do not play through these challenge rooms while you're playing through the game. It's like they break the pace. They're not fun. I mean, or better yet, don't ever play them. Just play through the single player game. Just
they're rough.
Let those achievement points go, because it's not worth it.
There's like VR missions where you got to be absolutely perfect in your platforming and jumping, and they do not forgive.
I mean, they're basically like even the beginning ones are above the level of anything you'll see in the normal game. So maybe once I beat it and I get my grappling hook skills up to, you know, up to speed, get my chops all built up, then maybe I'll go back through them and maybe I'll be better at them. But I mean, it just seems like those are like a reward for suffering. And then not only that, you go to the leaderboards and it actually tracks how many times you failed at that room.
All right, so
I think my biggest beef with this, and it's something that's that just irks me even now, is that if you remember in the game, you have the communication rooms, you have to get there to open up the doors, and then you always have the option of like hacking the enemy communication, and then sometimes it set off a trap, sometimes it didn't. Well, what these guys did is when you want to hack the enemy communications, now it starts this hacking minigame. And it gives you like this 3D puzzle where you have to like roll the ball until it hits something, and you have to keep turning it until it rolls into a certain green square, and that means successful hack. And it's stupid, it's unnecessary, it breaks up the gameplay, and honestly, I'm just sick of fucking hacking minigames. Like, hacking minigames, like, for instance, like, totally ruined the mood of BioShock for me. So, like, you know, you take BioShock, you have this brilliant first-person shooter, RPG, it's great, you know, it's based on objectivism, I hold it dear to my heart, and I had to play fucking Pipe Dream every 2 minutes. And
remember that game on the Mac.
So it's like when I'm playing a game, when I'm shooting shit, I don't want to solve puzzles. I want to shoot shit. And if I want to break up that intense action got from shooting shit, I want to break it up with jacking awesome gear from the dead dudes. I don't want to have to solve these stupid fucking puzzles. Like, if I want to solve a spatial puzzle, like, I'll go solve a fucking Rubik's Cube and stick it up my ass and jump out my window because I'm sick of it.
look, okay, I gotta rebuttal all these negative comments you made.
Go.
All right? My main thing, Jessific, you are a purist. You played the shit out of Bionic Commando back in the day, and you loved that game to death. Yes?
Yes.
So, I am not a purist. I saw the original. I played it a little, but not to the point that you did, all right? This is a fun XBLA game. I mean, all the things you cited as negatives, okay, the 3D animations may not be as perfect as the sprites, but it's still fun. I mean, the bosses have changed, but so what? They're more fun now. You know, the one where you're pulling the screws out? Oh, that was awesome. And then, like the hack minigame, I mean, it's not a big deal. You're these three things, you're like, oh, this ruins the game. It's not a big deal. The game is still fun. You're just like this hardcore NES douchebag purist who can't see the merits in a quality game, all right? There's fun elements of humor. This game is dripping with humor. So, I mean,
I thought
fun.
The humor was
kind of
forced,
fun.
Personally, but yeah.
Oh,
it,
please, come on.
I thought it was.
Come
dude,
on,
whatever.
It's fun.
He's got a bionic arm, baby.
The game is fun. It's $10. Me, you, and a friend can play it together. This is a perfect title for XBLA game, and you were just nitpicking over things only you and 10 other people on the face of planet Earth would notice.
You know what? You might be right. I did have really high expectations for it. So, like, and it is one of those games that, you know, like, I just it was built up so much for me that I do pick it apart. And but the thing is, like, you know, people that are hardcore as I am, they are going to notice the same things.
I'm saying this game has a ton of content. It's a great value for $10. You're getting a fun single player game. You can play it local multiplayer with 2-player co-op. You can play it online, can't you? Can't you play it online 2-player co-op?
I think it's the same console. There's nothing wrong with console. That, though. I mean, like a game like Bionic Commando, there's no way you can play that on network.
And then you got all these challenge modes. There's reasons to play through the game. Again, there's, like, hidden stuff within the single player. It's a great value, and it's a fun game. I don't know why you're nitpicking. I don't know what you were thinking this was going to be. This is not the second coming of Christ, Justin Fick.
I think the second coming of Christ was Braid, and then this is the game after the second coming of Christ. picture you know, Christ comes again, and then, you know, has all his whoopty, you know, hippie hairdo robe and all that kind of bullshit, and then picture whoever comes next. No one's gonna give a shit about him, and they're gonna compare him to the second coming. That honestly is what I'm doing to Bionic Commando.
And
so yeah,
three,
I am being extremely hard on it, but
the third game after the coming of Christ, Galaga Legions. Justin Fick, what do you think about this game?
This game I like. So this game is from the same team as Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Right.
And basically it gives Galaga the same treatment. So it gives it like a championship mode where you have to kill as much stuff as you can in 3 minutes. And it's very much sped up, kind of like how Pac-Man had a maze that you would do in a couple seconds. You know, Galaga waves are spawned and killed in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
So it's basically you have your ship, and then you also have 2 pods that you can put out with your right stick. Just put them in, just push a direction. And then they will shoot in any one of the 4 compass directions. So it adds a lot, because, I mean, stuff comes at you from all angles too. So it's done really well. It's got a very cool style to it. It's very like old school, like arcade neon kind of stuff. Like the paths of the Galagans there are all drawn out for you as they, you know, as they fly at you, so you can sort of predict it. And it just looks wicked cool.
So, I don't know. My only problem with this game is it feels like I've played this game a lot. You know, it's a vertical scrolling shooter, which there are a lot, or maybe not a lot, but there are definitely a handful of already out on XBLA. What's going to separate this one from the others? I mean, you've got Ikaruga, you've got
this one's a little different. I mean, this one is not about navigating levels. This one's all about handling spawn after spawn of enemies. So like.
Okay.
It's and there are sort of like Braid, there's different layers to it. I mean, there's like in each spawn there's like a leader, and if you kill that leader, then all the other monsters in it get killed with him.
Right.
So there's a lot of strategy in placing your pod so they kill the leaders and all that kind of stuff, and it's really more about it's more just about perfection, I think. So I mean, in a way, it does sort of play itself like with Ikaruga in that sense, but it's much faster. It feels like much less that it's demanding that perfection, and it's just that you play better every time.
All right, how much is this? How much is this game?
$10.
All right, I'm gonna check it out. The jury's still out on this game.
It's one of those things where if you like shooters, if you like going for score, it's definite thumbs up. If you're looking for content, if you're looking for big expansive levels, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, think Pac-Man CE. So
right.
I mean, Pac-Man CE had its game modes, and that was that. It was basically how good you get at those game modes. Same concept.
All right, so last game on our list for the XBLA summer, Castle Crashers. I don't know anything about this game other than I'm supposed to like it, and it's $15.
Okay, so basically, Castle Crashers is, you know, like, people have been anticipating this for a while. Like, it's been in development a long time. It's from the Behemoth, so they made Alien Hominid. And basically, Castle Crashers is a four-player online co-op beat-em-up game. So all your dudes are like headbanging knights, and basically like your princesses are captured, and you have to go out and just chop up a bunch of dudes and level up, and it's kind of like got some growth, some experience to it, supposedly, right. And
little Diablo.
Yeah, like a little bit of that. So you can sort of grow into a magic dude, or you can grow into a hardcore chop dude.
And, is this from the same team of Alien Hominid?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's got the same artist, the same art style. It looks amazing. I've seen a couple of videos of it in action. And the thing that excites me the most is that at the end of the level, after you kick this major big ass boss's ass, then you save the princess, but you have four dudes and one princess. So then you start killing each other to decide which one of you gets action.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so Castle Crashers looking good, but I don't know. We'll have to try it out. I don't know much about it, but it's looking good. All right, anything else? Or it's time for the jank.
Let's do it.
All right, let's blaze right through this jank, Blake Buck.
Time for the jank of the week. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your best, all right, jank of the week. Is pretty simple. When we talked about this game last week, I just got it. It's called The Club. It's on 360, PlayStation 3. You can get it off GameFly pre-owned for like $15. Justin Fink, now you're a fan of this game, right?
I am a fan of this game, and then I am overjoyed that it applies to me as well. So like while I have it out, I saw my keep it price go from $25 to like $15. I'm like, nice.
So you run around, you shoot crap, and it's kind of like, you know, what is it, Project Gotham, and you're trying to get higher and higher scores by doing more and more stylish moves. I love this game. Yeah,
it's kind of like Tony Hawk, only people get shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I paid $50 for it, but for $15, you cannot beat that. The Club, check it out on Gamefly.com. All right, next thing I got for you guys is a thing I've been working on for about the past week and a half. It's called the Tony Hawk Tower.
Tony Hawk games, Blake Buck?
This is where I went to GameStop, all right, and they had like four Tony Hawk games there, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to buy them all because I want Tony Hawk. So I got Tony Hawk 1, 2, and Thug, Tony Hawk Underground, for like a grand total of like $10 for all of these games. And they all play on Xbox. You can get one on the Xbox if you buy Tony Hawk 2X because it has one in it. So okay. I've slowly been buying off like Amazon Marketplace more Tony Hawk games. I now own like six of nine Tony Hawk games, and I haven't even spent but like $40 or $50 on all of them collectively.
Wow.
So I'm playing through them all. I'm going to be the fucking Tony Hawk master by the next time we do a podcast. Tony Hawk is awesome, all right? I mean, everybody's played Tony Hawk at some point in their life, and it's awesome. I think everybody should go back and play it at least once and remember the glory days.
I haven't played it since 2. I played Tony Hawk 3 maybe once.
Yeah.
But so I mean, most people, 2, like, 2 is the height of it for me.
They played one of them, and they hadn't really played it since. You got to come back because these games are dirt cheap. I got Tony Hawk like 2, 3, 1, 2, and 5 for like a total of $10. So go to GameStop and get you some Tony Hawk, son. I'm going to take a picture when I make the tower of all 10 games or of all 9 games.
That would be Hawk Stack.
You need to do a kickflip over it, Blake Buck.
That's left an X. That's how you do it. Ollie, then left an X. My favorite's the impossible, down an X. How can you do it? It's impossible.
If only it were that easy.
Now that Blake Buck has transitioned from Michelob Ultra to Southern Comfort in a flask, it's time for feedback.
Oh my god. Okay. I'm just going to end in tears.
You're such a damn alcoholic, Blake Buck. I swear to God.
Look, I got things to do tonight, all right?
Not for long.
All right, so I got a couple voicemails we got to play.
Actually,
before
that, I got an idea for a contest.
Okay.
So, I got an idea for a contest. It's called the Tunzer Dennis Irony Fest 2008 Extravaganza.
What
this is, it's the Tunzer Dennis Irony Fest 2008 Extravaganza. So basically, okay. if you remember back in the day, we had the, you know, we had our contest with Inside Mac Games, and if you remember fondly, the like we had a list of games that you would win if you won our contest.
Oh, that's right. I remember a couple of them.
So, and I remember also fondly that at some point, I think we were already BDPE at this point. We actually had something like if Tunser Dennis still owes you a game, then you know, write him, and you know, like so like the punchline is we were already not part of their podcast. So the Tunser Dennis Irony Fest 2008 Extravaganza contest is as follows. If Blake Buck, William Miller, and Justin Fick still owe you a prize, a T-shirt, then write to us. That is the contest. Now the contest part comes in. That if you write to us, now the subject line should be Irony Fest 2008, and request your T-shirt or whatnot or prize. If you manage to write us in and get us to send you a T-shirt, and we do not actually owe you a T-shirt, you win another T-shirt.
We should not be encouraging this kind of behavior, Justin Fick. I do not condone this contest in any way. I'm a little upset that you even suggested it, because now somebody's going to do it.
That dude, it's going to end in tears. It'll be great.
Look, it's all right. We're never going to make T-shirts anyway. We're just going to keep talking about it. Oh, yeah. T-shirts on the way. We got like a truck of them.
Dude, I'm wearing a T-shirt right now.
Such a dick, Blake Buck. You need to go make them things.
Oh, fuck you, man. You were here in Oxford. Why don't you go make them? Look, why don't you go make them now? Why isn't my job?
Look, Blake Buck, you have the keys to the BDPE coffers.
Shh. I didn't buy no steamer.
Uh-uh.
All right, look, it's time for voicemails. Here's our first one. Soon.
Dude, where's the funny voicemail message thing? You guys fail. You guys are lame. Anyway, I love the show. You guys are awesome. Lake Dumb.
Just had to throw that in right at the end. Like it's something to do.
That's,
all right,
that's 1-0 in favor of Blake Dumb.
Hey, BDP crew. This is Anthony from Alabama. Gamertag 1GOD75.
Oh, Lord. I got to take a swig of this Southern Comfort before I listen to this. All right. Continue.
Just listened to show 43, and I got the opposite feeling of all the haters talking about how the show's gone downhill. I'm still loving the show, guys. Shout out to Calix. Welcome back, Vic. We missed you, but I know you got to go make that coin. Also,
thank you, sir. Coin is good.
Vic can give you a heads up about this point. There's a website, 360voice.com, and it essentially sign up. He can tell you about it, but sign up in your 360 blogs about how you've been playing, achievements, stuff like that. But I'll let him tell you details. Also, got a real hard stump buck. It's a game from 1985. It's a super hard, colorful, action-packed platformer. Lots of secrets, 9 amazing boss battles. So I'll go ahead and give you the name, Super Mario Brothers. also, I'd like to give a holler out to all the other listeners that we need to do whatever we can to help monetize the show for you guys. If we
That's
want
right.
more good content, we need to help out donating. I plan on donating Friday. Show y'all some love. Whoever's going to be making the shirts, if that ever does come to fruition, put me down for 2 3Xs. Oh, yeah. as far as monetizing the show, I don't know if y'all have considered like Keith and the Girl or Nobody Likes Onions podcast. They both did a marathon show. So that'd be something you could possibly consider to put some money in the bank.
What do you guys think about a marathon show, like a real, real long show?
Dude, I just know there's going to be alcohol involved, and it's going to end with all three of us either in comas or dead. So, in other words, a raging fucking success.
Yeah, well, we could do a marathon show and sell it for like a dollar. Maybe we make some coins. Who knows? I don't know. I'm thinking about it. All right, continue.
Got one last heartfelt point. And this means a lot to me. I'm here in the voice of unity. I like to bring all the factions in. The Blake Dumb factions. The Blake Smart factions. Even the Blake Drunk factions. This is a point. We got to all unite. We got to come together, fellas. I like to propose the first Church of Buck. We got to come together. We got to make this happen. We got to make this show more than what it is. We got to make it popular. We got to get it out there. We need stickers. We need t-shirts. We need whatever it takes. Make it happen. Out.
Now I'm kind of torn because on the one hand I hate unity, but on the other hand I love religious cults.
And I also like money. So if we could incorporate all these together,
big success.
Oh, we got another one. Here we go.
Yeah, that's all.
Oh,
you told us to call it, motherfucker.
This happens a lot. People call us and they're drunk. This is only a portion of the call. The actual call is over 9 minutes long. Stop calling us when you've been drinking. All right, let's fast forward.
For listeners, since I...
Oh, here we go.
Christ.
Christ.
Jesus Christ. I've been a faithful listener since IMG number one, and I'm sorry, but why are you guys so fucking dumb? Seriously. You guys keep saying you want to be taken serious, be picked up, syndicated, become a reputable source for industry news.
Hang on. Stop it right there.
Whoa. Whoever said we wanted to be a reputable source for news?
Look, we have always shot from the hip here on the BDPE. You should not ever rely on us for accurate information. I mean, if you get the general gist of what we're trying to say,
you're getting 100% slant on this show. there are no facts.
It's like the O'Reilly factor of gaming news media. I mean, talk radio. I mean, that's what we are.
All right, now he goes on to tell us how stupid we are.
One more, you guys. Screw up. And prove that you don't really research anything you talk about. In the last podcast alone, you guys didn't know Konami's Rock Band ripoff was called Rock Revolution.
Oh, stop the presses! Oh my god!
Miller made a point about how Rare hadn't put anything on a Nintendo console, and guess what? Reason is, Microsoft owns Rare now.
Yeah, we know that. Thanks, Dr. Scientist.
Oh, and they did put out a game on Nintendo console, some Viva Pinata bull ass shit on the DS. Blam. Fuck them, know the difference between Resistance and Killzone. It's ridiculous. No, it's ridiculous. Goddamn, if I could go 5 seconds into the future just to be able to listen to what Buck says, then when he says something dumb and wrong, I will go back in the time and slap him on the mouth before he has a chance to make an ass of himself. I used to be a card-carrying member of Blake Smart. God damn it, I can't do it anymore. Blake dumb, Miller dumb, Vic dumb, I'm dumb.
And we're all in this together.
Wait, what?
Turn this goddamn thing off.
Did he not? Yeah.
It's like the punctuation to that argument. He can't even hang up the phone. Oh, I love it.
I love it.
I think we... that's the end of our voicemails. Oh, those are good. I like it. I like the fire and venom from the listeners. All right, so William Miller, kick us off with our first email.
All right, we got Dylan F. Excuse me. He says, okay. I have an amazing genius idea. So you guys put out a show about once a month, and the filler show is now approaching about once a month. So two other sets of people need to start making other BDPE filler shows. You guys can all communicate and do one show a month, alternating weeks. So we get one show a week. You see them brains? Okay, so maybe I'm kidding, but that would be pretty funny. There is one alternative. The next time Blake Buck is smearing butter in his face instead of doing podcasts, he could accidentally drop it, slip on it, and break his leg. He would be at home with nothing more to do than watch TV and do podcasts. Get on it, Blake Buck.
Dude, I'm playing Braid. I ain't got time for that.
But
Justin,
I love the show.
Told me there were some secrets after I beat it.
But I love the show when it comes out. Been a listener since early IMG. I sent Blake a stump, and he got it wrong, but I still stay on the Blake Smart list. Blake Smart. And fat, Dylan F.
I ain't fat. I've been losing weight. Chris S. writes, God damn it. The one day I decide to go and do something, which is to say sign up on the forums, y'all won't let me. I try my Yahoo, I try my Gmail, and what's left? Nothing. I don't have a goddamn ISP email like you guys do. Open it up. I know nobody named banned my email in particular. It had to be gmail@gmail.com. So could you please tell somebody to unblock it? Look, Battlecat, I don't know how the forums work.
If it's got Viagra in it, in your email, son, Battlecat's not going to let you in. I mean.
Look, I don't know how that stuff works. Email, what? Battlecat, what's your email? I don't even know. Battlecat@battlecat.com. All right, enough about non-BEPE shit. Fic, you better get back, because no offense, guys, but there's a reason. Most podcasts have 3+ hosts. Two gets boring. Don't even get started on one host after an episode or two. Stop flaking for WWDC. You can just watch more important stuff from home. On the other hand, last show wasn't that bad. Feedback was great. And one more thing, but people have got to stop sending long-ass emails. Is this not a long-ass email that you're writing right now, sir? Touche. I mean, who actually can cast Blake as the type of guy to read a 3-page paper? Yeah, that's right. Nobody. I wish I had a PlayStation 3. Metal Gear Solid 3 rocked, and I still play it, especially the dream after you get your eye shot out. I have that saved. In case you're wondering, that was actually in the demo for some time that was taken... What? Some game that was taken the dream... With more bad dude. God.
Blake Buck, you cannot read at all.
I can't read and I'm done with this email. Mark G, go.
All right, so Mark G writes, if you want to support a developer, you should send them a donation. I don't know how much money the developer would make from you buying a $60 game, but if you buy a used game and send the developer the difference, I'm sure they would make more money than if you bought the game at full price. I also want to know who actually gets this money. The real talent behind the games gets paid an hourly wage. So do the profits go towards financing the next project, or do they just go into the pockets of all of the producers? Also, I've decided against correcting 10 then-horrendous errors you made on the last podcast regarding E3. I don't think you got a single fact correct out of that entire section.
Look, quit your whining. I don't know why everybody's like, oh, you didn't get your facts right. Thanks, spell check. Why don't you clip some papers together and let me know what's happening in 2009? And furthermore... What is this about sending money to developers? That's stupid. Are you not going to go see Batman? Are you going to steal Batman and send Dr. Batman, the director of the movie, that money? That's stupid. Look, there are traditional channels for supporting what you like. Why don't you just use them?
Look, the answer to your question is
big box retailers.
For big box retailers, the developer gets about $4 out of the $60 you pay. Everything else is in the chain of getting it there and shipping it and production costs and all that. Look, you really want to support the developers. Listen, you really want to support the developers.
Are you going to do like this guy does? Or are you
gonna... No, listen. You really want to support the developers. Support downloadable content, because that cuts out all the middleman, except if you're on Microsoft. There's a little bit of kickback there. But look, that's the better way to go. So download them tapes.
All right. Also, he says he's a huge Nerf fan, and he's modded 2 Nerf weapons, my own Firefly or Maverick and a Nightfinder. I also modded 2 Super Soakers, and I built on my own. Oh, and he's got a link here for a cool Nerf homemade mod. I'm clicking this crap.
Is this the, yes, this isn't his homemade, though, but it is very cool.
Oh, wow. Look at that thing. Clack!
All right, what's next, Blake Buck?
Who's got the next email? Zolart, go.
All right. Well, TK writes... Sup, gods of gaming. This is your artist, Zolart, a.k.a. TK. What the fuck is this? Dur, the show ain't good enough anymore. The show is the same as it always been. I went back to listen to some of the old episodes, and they are the same to me. All your episodes still got you laughter and shit like always. By the way, what would you guys do if I performed 6 battles at the same time with a 3-hour limit? Oh, shit. Dude, this guy ain't fucking around. I had a dream when I performed all battles under 1 hour, but I'm unsure if I could do that. Dude, this guy dreams about battles. Still, would there be any price if a battle gladiator such as myself did this, or would this become some kind of tradition where I try to perform several battles at once? Anyways, have a good one. I'll talk to you guys on AIM. P.S. What happened to converting everything into Sneak King? Inflation.
Bring that back.
Inflation.
Gas prices are up. I'm buying gas. It's like 3 Sneak Kings to fill up half a tank.
Dude, that's new Sneak Kings.
Dude, they need to bring that. I want new Sneak King at this fall. They better come out with some more Sneak Kings.
Yeah, they need
like
next gen Sneak King. All right, I'll take this next one. Zap Brannigan of album art fame writes, Miller.
Apparently, Zap Brannigan does our album art. I did not realize this until this email.
He says, Miller, we're not going to pay you to finish the website, you buttface. Wow. That's great. We're name calling now. If you can't bother to do it, then don't. If you can't bother to do it, then didn't Zolart offer to do it? Look, I mentioned this before the show started. He and I are both working on the site. I've been seeing some of the stuff he's doing. It's awesome. So, look, that's in the pipe.
Look, the only thing I saw out of this email is Blake Pussy Doubler. That is fact.
Whoever's got that thing in the forums, I guess that must be Zap Branding with like the eagle and like the 2 cats.
I want to see more people. Right. All right, everybody on Team Blake Smart, I want to also see you in Team Blake Pussy Doubler.
Dude, and Team Blake Dumb, any badges that say 2 nothings is nothing.
All right.
Wazoo says, attention, you batch of ass clowns. I want a shirt. I get you interviews. I want a shirt. If not, stick William Miller's Nads and Blake Buck's embezzled pressure cooker. Fuck you, comma, Wazoo.
Yeah, did you buy a pressure cooker with the
yeah, we talked about it's not a pressure cooker, it is a steamer. All right. Look, steamers are awesome because you can put anything in there. You can put chicken, you can put vegetables, and you go look 45 minutes and you eat it. That's it. That's all you got to do. It's cooking for Blake Buck. Put it in a box and set it to 45 minutes.
That's cook box.
All right, just Vic, take this one.
All right, Zap Brannigan writes again. You guys said we should write in and give feedback as to the uncensored show. I love it. Buck, Miller, Fick, you guys should have done this sooner. The show is better without the buzzer. I don't see how people can listen to a show with a really loud buzzer sound and constant mention of rape, but not listen to one with occasional swearing. Also, I've started on an animated version of Game House. Myself and Zolar, a.k.a. TK, are doing the art. Dude, TK's doing the art for everything. Blade Buck, if you still have any ideas, etc. for that heat, could you send that our way and maybe we can animate a version of your script or something? P.S. Blake Pussy Dumber. Thick, handsome, Miller King of USA / Weeaboo.
I can't even remember my ideas for... I had a whole bunch of ideas, but they've long been forgotten because that was so many shows ago, Game House. But as for the not cursing, did that happen? I didn't even realize we weren't censored anymore.
Lucas got lazy on our editing, and we released a show or two with some cuss words that slipped out.
I told him to go ahead and just release the last one.
I like how like we are the last people to know that our show is uncensored now.
Look, guys, come on, let's hurry up. We do a couple more of these, and we gotta go.
Shut your fucking face,
dude.
Man.
Dude, come on.
What are you doing? What hot gaming lecture do you have to get to tonight, huh?
Oh, my God.
Games is art? Tell me about it.
Games is art. That's exactly right. Come on.
Evan R. says, I've got one stump for you bad dudes. What? Are you a bad enough dude to save the president? Get
you
the
can't
fuck
bring
out
that weak-ass shit in here. Come
get
on,
that
man.
Shit out of here. Done with that email.
We're done. We're done with that. Anthony from Alabama, go.
All right. Hey, guys. Great job on the filler podcast. Still love the original, but it was nice to see a filler cast in my Juice download. Tell me get through in between. Also, shout out to Lucas for the promo he did on Keith and Girl Lucas, you're very talented. Please keep it up. One more question. Do you guys think about the new Spore creature creator?
It dumb.
We talked about this.
I love it.
Spore, and therefore it
like
dumb.
It came dumb. Out, and in 24 hours, I saw the most dicks I've ever seen in my entire life.
Like, what did they think was going to happen? Like, I mean, come on now.
Dude, I don't know how many YouTube videos of just, like, bouncing dick creatures we watched that day came out. There's like one with a little worm that faces you, like he's totally like profile or like totally like facing you, and then he turns profile and he's actually the word fuck spelled out as a worm. Oh my god! Like there was some brilliant, hilarious stuff with Spore Creature Creator. I approve of its existence completely.
I still maintain that Spore itself was never going to ship,
never,
ever.
All right, Lucas has sent us a picture of a hot cheerleader. Thank you, Lucas.
Nice. I appreciate
it. Else Buddy writes
dude.
In.
This is a trick. This is going to be like, we're going to be like, oh, that girl's hot.
No, I looked at it already.
He's going to be like, oh, did you know it was a tranny?
No.
All right, Else Buddy writes in.
Blitzhog.com/stuff/hotcheerleader.jpg.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, Else Buddy writes in and says, hi, gods of gaming. I'm just writing in to say what an excellent show episode 43 was. It was great to hear Justin Fick's voice again. I'm also enjoying the uncensored content of the show. And an idea for battle. Someone has to go to Freeverse and nerf Justin Fick, Firaxis, and nerf Will Miller. And I would say nerf Blake Buck when he does his radio show on school campus. But With the recent school shootings, I think it would not be a good idea.
Look, I welcome Nerf guns in my face. All right, first person to do that gets a shirt.
Yeah,
first
person. Anyone that can assassinate one of us with a Nerf gun, you win a shirt.
Gets a fantasy shirt that doesn't exist.
No, they get the shirt off your back when they shoot you.
There you go.
There you go.
who is this talking? Who is this?
Blake Buck. Three beers ago, we told you that Ryan Meyer was going to be sitting in on the show today.
This
You've obviously forgotten
Meyer's
because you're so drunk and dumb.
Look, I'm halfway through this flask, asshole. Kim L. writes, greetings, Fick, Buck, and Miller. First of all, go team Blake. Anybody got that word?
Habitudinous. It means stupid.
I'm a long-time listener to BDP, and I have to say I am pleased with the product of your team. However, seldom produces. Vic, it's good to see you've gotten off your dual throne of Look, Justin Fick, you better read this email. It's got big words in it.
All right. So, Fick, it's good to see you have gotten off your dual throne of deific gaming and programming ability and decided to return to the realm of mortals to grace the show with your presence. Thank you. He actually wrote this. I must applaud you all for finally dropping your sensorial filter and allowing the show to be experienced in its most potent form of unadulterated auditory ambrosia. Dude, this guy had the source open the whole time. I'm impressed. I send you this email to show you that there are different types of fans that listen to your show. Aside from the pedestrian form troglodytes that you are so accustomed to being verbally assaulted by. Now that I have sung the praises of the show, now to the real issue at hand. Buck, I must ask, were you spawned by the result of an inebriated, incestuous grope fest, or did you simply congeal somewhere in the shallow end of the genetic cesspool? I mean, really, I can only assume that you sustain your existence by merging yourself with a viscous mixture of butter, old English malt liquor, lard, and the souls of small animals and orphans. Every time I listen to your show, the core of my being is deeply disturbed by the sound of your adipose blubber resonating over the internet. In closing, keep up the good work. Fick, Renaissance Man, Miller, Middling, Buck, Cthulhu. P.S. I accept.
Oh, you're getting a battle, son. Your battle is going to be write us a novel about us.
No.
You have one hour.
This is the Wall Street guy I was telling you guys about earlier.
It's awesome.
Dude, this man has 30 stories of battle coming his way.
We're thinking up something good for you. Just you wait, Henry Higgins. Just you wait.
All right. Ben S. writes, hey, guys. Will Miller's biggest only fan here. The lab I work for got on a big Nerf kick at the end of the year when we were rendering out a big final project. We each obtained a personal arsenal from dual Mavericks to rocket launchers to, what is this?
A keyboing
sniper rifles. I haven't heard of that one.
It's holding two of, like, a gun.
Oh, gotcha. We had a 48-hour war in the lab between being up for 3 days straight and getting shot in the eye multiple times. At the end, we were all passed out on the floor. It was Armageddon. The arsenal has grown over the last few months, and no one dares to come in the lab without protection, lest they be hit in the face with a rocket and a dozen or so darts from 10 feet. We are feared. Blake, you remember when we went to Macworld and you got sniped in the eye by Bruce Morrison?
No, that was Steve Zay.
Yeah, I think that was Steve.
Steve Zay. All right, well.
Steve Zay ambushed him.
He annihilated your face. He didn't even know what you looked like, and he shot you in the face. I guess we stuck out.
He could tell my aura or whatever. He's seen it.
He's seen that. All right, somebody take Thomas K. All
right, Thomas K. writes, "Oh, fuck. Why do what other have already done? Wow. I might save that for later since I am a little low on money. Why not instead try to do what other were not able to do, like failed battles? I will try on every failed battles instead and be victorious. That battles I remember so far is both of Wazoo's battles, since no one seemed to try his drinking game, so I guess he failed that. And since I already got through puberty, I will either become twice the man I already am or go back in the past and retake it.
It's like a test.
Stacking games at a game store and trade an Octomac for a game might take some time since I live far away from any game stores. So I might have to come up with something close if you agree to that, because I want to do all the battles. I think that's all of them. I can't remember anything right now at this point. Anyways, don't do milk, stay on drugs, and drink your school and have a good one. From a not-so-awesome fan is Sippin' but Swedish one, TK, a.k.a. Zolar."
And he sent us a link here. What is this? Somebody pull up this link.
Let's grab this image here.
That's Fick Handsome. It's pointing to his chest where he's rubbing butter on himself.
Nice.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
I love it.
I want that to be my desktop background. Give me a background size version of that image. 1280 by 854. That's my resolution.
Dude,
do
picture,
it.
Picture saved.
All right, our last email comes from Sirius Fox. BDPE crew, I have found one solution to your hate mail problem. Groupie love at bestdamnpodcastever.com. I think we should set it up. I'll set it up. We'll see what comes in next week.
All right, Blake Buck.
Let's do Stump. Real quick, let's do Stump.
I don't have one this week.
Dude, I got a good one for you.
All right. What's your stump? Let's do it.
So I will kick it off this week. My stump for you boys is called The Demon Rush.
What? You just make up bullshit,
son. Nope. This is real.
No. All right. Look, Blake Bug. You should know this game. You're at Ole Miss. And
you got to get accepted. You got to get accepted.
Yeah, to your fraternity. It's Demon Rush.
Demon Rush.
You are also a demon.
You're a demon frat boy.
Now, that's probably than the actual game is. Whatever you say. Okay. It's probably 10 times the game that it actually was. So, this was posted to the Something Awful forums a couple days ago. And it was basically some dude. He calls himself indie game developer, Dragoon Entertainment Limited. He's the CEO, and basically posted a game called The Demon Rush, and the story of it, the plot sounds fairly decent. It revolves around a war between humans and demons called The Demon Rush, spanned 3 years, blah, 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 and there's a city of Earth that can possibly lead to a breakthrough, but two soldiers get stranded, that kind of thing, and then he starts posting pictures and character profiles, and I just got to describe this for you though. But it contains characters called Cherry Venus. There's a character just called Knight. there's a character called and I'm not kidding on you about this one. His name is Brooks Crack Tackle. and when I post this, I'm gonna post a link to the thread here, and it's probably the worst looking game I've ever seen in my life. It's basically like, it's kind of like a Final Fantasy-esque RPG, but it's done with like this game maker by an epileptic fourth grader on crack. There's an actual enemy that's just named the letter M 8 times. That's M. Like it is wow. So enormously epically bad that you know what, I'll just have like the link like in the image art, because you guys like have to look at this. It's so incredibly horrible.
Lucas, you better hook it up for us. Or wait, no, Zap Brannigan, hook up that link for us. All right, Justin Fick, you got a game, or William Miller, you got a game for us?
I got a stump. You may know this one, but I just thought of it in the last week. All right, Return of the Phantom.
I still don't know who's talking. Who is this?
This is Ryan Meyer.
Oh, hey, what's up, man? Return of the Phantasm. All right. I got this. Shut up. Quit laughing. Obviously, there's several phantasms. They were on break. Now they're back. Side-scrolling, dungeon-crawling, text-based RPG. So.
Wrong. All right, so Return of the Phantom, there's no phantasms involved, puts you, you're an investigator, and you go to the Paris Opera House, and some shit goes down, and you go back in time, and it's a point-and-click adventure where you pretty much relive the Phantom of the Opera, the musical.
Wow.
And then at the end, you fight him on the chandelier, and you rip his mask off, and he is none other than Sid Meier.
Can you even play this game? Are you even allowed to fight your father? That's like... That's like Darth Vader shit there. All right, my stump for you guys is a game. Now, this might be easy. I don't know how well-versed in this genre you guys are, but it's a game called Epic Pinball.
Now, was this an old DOS tape?
Maybe.
Was this an old DOS tape? Because I remember this tape. It had a bunch
this
of... It was old DOS
tape.
You
gotta describe it.
And there's pinball. It wasn't 3D yet. But it was almost there, and it was a pinball game.
I'll give it to you. All right, it was Epic before they made Gears of War. They made a game called Epic Pinball in like 1993. And it had some. It was a really killer pinball game, and you know, it had like a couple of different tables. It had one with an Android on it. It had one with a rock star. It was a pretty banging game. So if you're into old school pinball games, check out Epic Pinball.
Dude, how did it compare to Space Cadet?
Oh, rock the pants off it, dude. It had like full motion video screen, you know, in the middle.
Oh, nice.
Space Cadet's trash, dude. This is the real deal.
Dude, I got a soft spot in my heart.
What's that?
For Space Cadet.
Oh, I see.
But by the way, links to the Demon Rush are in the wiki under Stump, if you are so inclined.
All right. All right, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
It was a pretty good show, Blake Buck.
I'm blown away by the madness, as always.
If you want to send us any emails, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call up the listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. Also, you can donate to us from the listener line at the donate line. Donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. There are links on the show notes and on the website. We've got to give a shout out to Dylan B, hooked up with some major K-flow on the donate line this week. We are set for another, like, 8 months of hosting. Thank you, Dylan B.
Damn, wow. Son.
That's awesome.
He hooked us up. Also, Anthony A. from Alabama hooked us up.
Dude, so that's like three pressure cookers right there.
I know.
At least.
If you want, be sure to vote for us at podcast. You know what? I don't even know if that matters. How long have we been saying that? Screw Podcast Alley. We're done with it.
We don't need no alley for podcasting. We're out in the streets where the action is.
Podcaststreet.com. Go vote for us. That does it for this week of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Ryan Meyer, who apparently wasn't here for half the show.
And I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts
it's just a spring.